And let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the New Testament, to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. Some of us went and played golf on Tuesday from the church here, and about on the fifth hole, I swallowed a bug. These little gnats were flying everywhere, driving us crazy, and I swallowed one, and it stuck, and then I got choked, and then I've been all scratchy ever since. I can go way low. If I was singing bass, I could go way low. But, oh, my goodness, it's been brutal. So, I'll do my best tonight, all right? But that's about all I can give you is scratchy, all right? So, let's start in verse 5. And I want to read just a couple of verses here down to verse 8, all right? But verse 8 is where I'm going to take my message from this evening. But look, let's start in verse 5. I just want to read this because of what a wonderful promise it is. If any of you lack wisdom, how many of you would that be? There you go, all of us. Okay, can I put two hands up on that? Yeah. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he's not going to scold you for asking. And it shall be given him or her. All right, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. All right, so you've got a fella who says, boy, yeah, you know, I sure do want wisdom. I'm going to ask God to give me wisdom. But then you don't really... You're just joking around. You're just going through the motions. You don't really want to draw nigh to God and God draw nigh to you. But the thought of having wisdom is something that you kind of like. But the Lord said, or James said here, that if you waver in asking, in other words, you doubt God could do it, or you just don't think God could do it, or God can't do it for you, all right, whatever the case may be, he said, you're like the sea that is just driven wherever the wind is blowing, all right? You're just going every which direction. And he said, for let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. And now here's the text verse. Look at verse 8. And he says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In all his ways. All right? So let's keep our Bible open here, and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then I want to speak to you tonight on being two-faced. All right? Being two-faced. You remember that term? Remember that term when you were in high school? Junior high school? Oh, she's so two-faced. Yeah. Yeah, well, I got news for you. We all are. All right? We all are. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word, and I pray you'll bless this tonight. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. I pray that the word of God will get in our hearts and help us to realize that there's hypocrisy everywhere we look, and especially in our own lives. And so, Father, help us to examine ourselves in the light of your word tonight. And may we just purpose in our hearts that we're going to be that stable, that sober-minded individual. And so, Father, bless your word to our hearts, and we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Back when I was in junior high and high school, one of the worst offenses or titles or crimes that you could commit was being two-faced to your friends. In other words, if somebody told you something and then you went and told others and you turned it so that it made the person that told you look bad, then you were written off as a friend. You weren't a friend. And so you were considered two-faced. In other words, you were talking out of both sides of your mouth. All right? And that is exactly what the text verse here, verse 8, is talking about, a double-minded person, and they're unstable in all their ways. Now, when I was thinking about it, when I was back in junior high and high school, if someone called you a two-faced person, all right, they normally had some kind of adjective on the end of it to describe it, but if you were called two-faced, that was on par with being a murderer, or a thief. I mean, nobody wanted to be known around school as two-faced. Nobody wanted to be known that way. And I have often referred to you how God uses the tool of contrast to make his point throughout the Bible. Everywhere you look, you'll see this contrast. God plays one thing off of another in order to make a point or to prove a point. And for example, we have in Scripture, we have good and we have bad, all right? One of two. We have good and we have bad. There is in the Bible light and there is dark, all right? Light and darkness. There is evil and then there is good. There is love, but then there is hate. And there is lost, and there is found. There is saved, and there is unsaved. All right, so, and of course, there is spiritual, and there is carnal. And God uses this matter of contrast in order to make a point. And so what God is saying here is, don't be double-minded. Don't be two-faced. I mean, be what you claim to be. You say you're a believer in Christ, then act like a believer in Christ. If you say you're a Christian, then you ought to act like a Christian. You know, when the world looks at a Christian, they do not want to see themselves. Amen, preacher, that's good. That is good. When the world looks at a Christian, they do not want to see themselves. And so here the apostle is making the point that a double-minded person is an unstable person. It is someone who is two-faced and there's somebody that you just cannot trust. You know, you can't trust a two-faced individual. For example, a young lady tells one of her friends something about herself, and then that friend goes out and just blabs it to everybody that she can that she runs into. Well, you can be assured that person is not a true friend to that one who told her the information. You know, they are, these people who are quote unquote double-minded, quote unquote two-faced. They are the crowd that they are with at the moment. You know, they're the crowd that they are with at the moment. Or around you, they may be your best friend forever, but behind your back, they're your greatest enemy. And that's a two-faced individual. In 1 John chapter 3 in verse 15, John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And yet there are so many folks who call themselves by the title Christian, but they love the world so much more than what they love God. And that you see that all the time. It's evident in the way people live their lives. And so what do you end up with? Well, you end up with a double-minded individual. That's what you end up with. And James tells us that this person who has a double mind or has two faces, one that is presented to the world and the other that is presented to the Lord, James said that person is an unstable believer in Christ. That's why you see so many Christians who are up and then down. They're in and then out. I mean, they're on fire and then they're an ice cube. You know, and their whole Christian, I've known folks, their whole Christian life, they've been like that. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Well, whatever happened to stability? You know, why can't we just get as John says, grounded and settled, huh? Just grounded and settled in the things of the Lord. So there is no doubt but that we live in a world that is filled with double-mindedness. It is a curse that plagues our society today. Now, let's think about the matter of being two-faced, double-minded this evening. What is the danger of being a double-minded individual, believer? All right, first of all, I want you to notice with me the portrayal of double-mindedness. Notice a portrayal of double-mindedness. The verse says here in verse 8, a double-minded man. What exactly is James speaking of with this phrase? Well, in a nutshell, James is speaking of someone, hold on, who's a hypocrite. Yeah. He's speaking of hypocrisy here. And a hypocrite, I mean, what is a hypocrite? We all know what a hypocrite is. It's a two-faced individual. It is a double-minded individual. Noah Webster, he was Daniel's brother, Daniel Webster's brother, but Noah did a dictionary in 1828. And if you don't have this dictionary, you probably should get you one and keep it handy so you can look up Bible words. And I say that because Mr. Noah Webster took his definitions out of the Bible. Yeah, he gives you, when he gives you a definition, he gives you a King James Bible reference for you to look that verse up in your Bible so that you as well can understand the meaning of the verse or of the word you just looked up. And so in his dictionary, he says that a hypocrite is one who feigns to be what he is not. A hypocrite is a person who feigns or acts to be what he is or she is not. And he goes on to say, a hypocrite is one who has the form of godliness, but without the power. The form of godliness, but without the power. A hypocrite is one who assumes the power of piety and virtue when he is destitute of true religion. Now, let me give you a simple, let me simplify the definition for you, all right? A hypocrite is somebody who is not himself on Sunday. Hello. Man, that's real, isn't it? A hypocrite is somebody who is not himself on Sunday. Man, you say, well, Pastor, you're not shooting that at me, are you? No. No, I would never do that. And when you think about it, you know, hypocrisy is not, it's not a mental deficiency. It's a character deficiency. All right? It has nothing to do with any sort of a mental or emotional disorder. No, it's a disorder of conduct. It's a disorder of conduct. And of course, James is stating this about spiritual matters, about spiritual issues. To be double-minded is to talk religious on Sundays, but then speak in profane ways the rest of the week. You know, is somebody who is not himself on Sunday. I've taught you before about that word profane. And God said that that Esau, if you remember, was a profane man. The word profane is, it's an amazing word. We today simply use it to describe cursing, mainly in our day. But the word profane is a fascinating word. The root word there, F-A-N-E, fane, that's a sanctuary. That's a temple. All right? And someone who is profane, pro means before. In other words, it would be out there on the sidewalk. All right? If you came in the back doors, it'd be out there on the parking lot. All right, you are profane. You're not fane. You're not in the sanctuary. You're just outside the sanctuary. But you're at the sanctuary. All right, you want everybody to think that you are on board. You want everybody to think that you have the same heart that the finest Christian in the building has. But do you really? You see, aren't you glad God looks on the heart? Amen. You know, we look on the outward. You can fool us. We can fool one another. But we dead sure cannot fool God. God knows what's in our hearts. And so someone who is a profane person is somebody who is not in, they're on the outside. They're probably out there looking in, but they're not in. They're pro, they're before. And God said of Esau that he was a profane man. What'd that mean? Well, the reason that God said that is simply because nothing was holy. Nothing was sacred to Esau. You know, his birthright, that was a spiritual thing. He got that from his daddy. You go back and read about that in the law, and you'll find out that that birthright gave you a greater inheritance from your father that was given to the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn of Isaac. But you'll remember, Jacob was his twin. And when Esau was born, as he came out of the womb, he came first, and then here came Jacob holding on to the heel of his brother. And it's almost like he's trying to pull him back and get ahead of him, you know. And so he's out here firstborn. Now, he's supposed to inherit the birthright. He's supposed to get that extra blessing. And he's supposed to be with that blessing, listen now, the high priest of his home. He is to be the spiritual head of his home. Boy, there's a new concept, isn't it? But you see, he didn't care for it. It didn't mean anything to him. And so when he came in from a hunting trip, he said, "I'm starving." I doubt it. I doubt seriously that he would have starved to death. I know in my case, I got probably a month and a half of reserve that I could call. You stay out of this. That I could call on. All right? All right, don't you laugh at me. You do too. All right? But the whole point of the matter is, it didn't matter to Esau. All he wanted was to feed his flesh. His belly was the only thing he cared about. Just give me a bowl of soup. And Jacob was standing there thinking, "Well, I will if you give me your birthright." And it didn't mean anything to Esau. And Esau flippantly says, "Well, what good's it going to do me if I'm starved to death? If I'm dead, what good's it going to be?" Well, that was just all flesh speaking. That's all it was. And so that's why God called him a profane individual. And then there was the blessing. Now that was another gift from the patriarch of the family. And he wanted to pass that on to the firstborn. But what Jacob did there was he deceived his father. You remember that, all right? He went out and got some deer hide and put it on his arm. And when his father reached up, he said, "The voice is Jacob, but the touch is, it's Esau." Man, all I can say is Esau must have been one burly-looking guy. You know what I mean? Mercy, bless his heart. I mean, if you got so much hair on your arms that you would feel like a deer. Goodness. Go get a sharp rock and shave your arms or something. Mercy. But anyway, he said, no, I'm Esau. And so the blessing was given to Jacob as well. And that's when Mama said, "Son, you better get out of here. Your brother is going to kill you when he comes in." And so that's why he left home. But the whole point of the matter is that God said that Esau was a profane man. Now, folks, both of these, the blessing and the birthright, both of these were of great spiritual value, but Esau didn't want them. Esau simply did not want them. He profaned those spiritual benefits. You know, if Esau had done right instead of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we would be speaking about Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But there was no way that God was going to bless a profane man like Esau. So Jacob is the one that we talk about. Now, God said he's a profane man. You see, he did not care about the spiritual. Those spiritual entities meant nothing to him. So he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, and God said to him, "You're a profane man, Esau. Profane man." What a sad commentary on a long-lived life. A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Isn't that something? When Rebecca found out, saw what had happened, what'd she say? "You better get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you." What's that show you about the brother, her son? He's unstable. You never know what the man's going to do. What's it show you about him? You see, that's the point. That's the point. So the same language that one uses on Sunday ought to match the language that we use the rest of the week. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's to profess to be a follower of Christ around those who follow Christ, but then deny that you are a follower of Christ when there's someone around you who does not follow him. That's a double-minded man. That's a profane individual. A double-minded person is the guy that's a liberal with liberals, but then he's a true conservative when he gets around conservatives. You know, it's the same principle. Don't be a double-minded individual. That is hypocrisy. That is being two-faced. And the truth is, when one is two-faced, it becomes difficult to discern which face you're supposed to speak to. Amen. You know, it's to root for both teams that are competing against one another. You can't do that. You can't do that. I remember watching a football game last year, or maybe it was year before, I don't remember. But I remember that a mom had a son at one school, and she had another son at another school, and they were playing each other. So she had a jersey that On this side, it had the older son's school, and on this side, it had the younger son's school. And she's standing there when they put the camera on her, and she could see her picture on the screen. She just went like this, you know. Who do you root for? Who do you root for in a situation like that? Well, you know, that's why we become such double-minded individuals. Our hearts are split, aren't they? I mean, it's to reflect the moral temperature wherever you are. That's a double-minded man. It is to please the crowd you are in at that moment. That's a double-minded man. I've seen several preachers through the years preach what they know a crowd wants to hear instead of what a people need to hear. You see, that's double-mindedness. Brother David said this morning, I know when he began, he said, I know it's stressful for you, speaking to me, he said, I know it's stressful for you to have someone come and stand in your pulpit and you've never heard him speak before. And I was just sitting here thinking, you think? Oh, my soul. Yeah. Yeah, brother, you're exactly right. It was. One of our ladies said, I have a couple of visitors that are coming, and I want them to hear the gospel. And I said, well, I figure he'll give it. But he got so wrapped up and wound up telling the story that he looked down at his watch and realized, there was a moment when he went like this, and it was 10 after. Now, he doesn't know the Baptist code. All right, you cannot go 30 seconds beyond the top of the hour. Folks start going. And at 5 after, they're going. And then at 10 after, they're going. Like that. So I know he wanted to. And he gave the foundation. So here's what I said to one of our ladies. I said, well, you know, I know that he was not he's not a pastor. He's not an evangelist. He's not trained to deal with crowds. I know that, all right? So I didn't know what could happen, but I did know that the devil did not want the gospel. And, all kinds of things have happened today. All that went out this morning, you know. It just, I walked in and I saw that and I went, I hate the devil. I hate him. You know, I hate the devil. How many of you with me on that? Yes. And then that light up there died. It blinked and it was out this morning. You know, you say, why do you notice all that? I don't know. I drive myself crazy noticing all this stuff all the time. But, you know, Pastor Holbrook mentioned a moment ago, churches, don't want to announce surgeries or death because it sets a bad tone in the service. And I kind of understand that. I kind of understand that. There's all kinds of things that will just trigger people. And certainly not from anybody in this room tonight. But I will hear, did you know the lights were on? Yes. I knew it before you did. I spotted it before you did. You spotted it during the message probably. I saw it when I came in the door back there. Yeah, I know. You see, all this stuff, I mean, the devil knows what he's doing. And why does he attack? Because he wants us to be double-minded. You see, he doesn't want us thinking about the gospel. So I thought, well, I'll just give the gospel. I'm glad I did. We had 8 people saved. So praise the Lord for that. But you know, that's why we came this morning. You know, so we went over 10 minutes or so. You know, one of the great criticisms of the New Testament church since its inception has been the accusation that there are too many hypocrites in the church. And to that, I always say, well, you might as well come and join the rest of us then. We always got room for one more hypocrite. Always. Now, secondly, let's notice the popularity of double-mindedness. Now, I know this might sound a little strange to you, but double-mindedness is quite popular in our world today, especially in politics. I guarantee you, every politician in Washington, D.C. right now, well, they're not there now. Thank the Lord. I don't think they are. Hope they're not. But every politician in D.C. is on record saying they are for whatever the issue of the day is. And then they are on record as being against whatever issue is the issue of the day. Yeah. Yeah, you'll find them. You can find them if you look for them. You can find them. Well, you know what John Kerry say? I voted against this before, or for this before I voted against it. You did what? Here's another one. We have to vote and approve the bill before we can find out what's in it. Something's not computing here. I mean, what kind of rationale is that? You know? And you talk about, the truth of the matter is, folks, if politicians didn't have any hypocrisy, they would never have an opinion on anything. And that's the truth. But you know, double-mindedness is popular. Listen carefully. Single-mindedness is an abomination to our world today. What? You have an opinion and it's not my opinion? Well, how can that be? Well, because I'm right and you're wrong. That's how that can be. Not that complicated. I mean, if you are a conservative, if you are single-minded and you're a conservative, you are viewed as a radical, an extremist, a bigot, a right-wing nut job, guilty. If you have convictions that you hang on to, the world says, there's something wrong with you. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with you, but the world considers you as pig-headed and as a religious fanatic. Well, again, guilty. Guilty. But I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? You know? But how does the world consider you if you are double-minded? Well, if you are a double-minded individual today, the world just loves you to death. You have qualities that thrill the rest of the world. You remember when that guy on MSNBC, the blonde-haired guy that talked a mile a minute, and when Obama was speaking, giving his first address to the nation, you know, the State of the Union address, and he came on the air and he said, "Oh, I had a tingle go up my leg." Isn't that strange? How I was ready to throw up. And he had a tingle going up his leg. But you see, likes associate with likes. I was ready to throw my TV out in the backyard. Probably. Now, listen, folks. Let me give you something here. Now, you digest this. Ready? A bigot is a person who wins an argument with a liberal. Did you get that? All right, everybody just clear your mind, all right? Let me say it again, and you get this. A bigot is a person who wins an argument with a liberal. All right, now hang on. I got another one. A racist is anyone who disagrees with a liberal. Have you not noticed that? I mean, they cry racist if you disagree with them. You will be seen as open-minded. You will be seen as charitable, as tolerant, as non-prejudicial, as reasonable, as sensible if you are double-minded. But if you're single-minded, oh my, you're the worst person on the planet. And something needs to be done about you. That has been stated publicly. That has been stated on the Senate and House floor. Make no mistake about it. Now, let me give you an example of one of the most single-minded men who ever lived. Do you remember Elijah up on Mount Carmel? And up on top of that mountain, Elijah, the single-minded man, against the world, all the double-minded people. And what did the single-minded man accuse the rest of the people of being? He said, "You're double-minded. How long halt ye between double? Two opinions. If God be God, then serve him. I mean, if Baal be God, serve Baal. All right? But make up your mind. Make up your mind." And in 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah said, "How long halt ye?" Well, I thought that word's got to mean something really sweet. So I looked it up, and boy, sure enough, it does. You know what the word means? It means to jump from side to side. Double-minded. Over here 1 minute, over here the next minute. "Oh, I'm for God. Oh, I'm for Baal." Well, make up your mind. And you know, God's people ought to make up their mind whose side they're on. Are we on the Lord's side or are we on the world's side? I don't know about you, but I like being single-minded. Don't have to think as much. I already know what I believe. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. And you're not going to move me, and the world's not going to move me. Just a single-minded person. So what did he say? Basically, what he said was, "How long are you going to jump around 1 minute on God's side and then the next minute on Baal's side?" And what Elijah was basically saying was this: "Hey, pick a side and stick with it." Amen. Amen. Just pick a side and stay with it. I don't know about you, but I like God's side. Amen. Then lastly, I want you to look at the product of double-mindedness. Now, there's two things here that I want to call to your attention, then I'll be done. The verse says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." All his ways. We see the product, or maybe I should call it the curse of double-mindedness. Two things. First of all, notice the what in the product. I did some checking on the word unstable, and that's a fascinating word as well. And I found something out that about it that I did not know, or if I did know it, I had forgotten it. but it makes perfect sense and really helps in understanding what James is saying to us here. The word unstable means to never settle down. To never settle down. Glenn Matthews used to say, we lived down in what is called the Kanawha Valley. Kanawha, Indian name, was the name of the county that Charleston's in. It's a big county, and several cities, several towns around Charleston. And that whole region down from Charleston to Huntington, it's called that Kanawha Valley. K-A-N-A-W-H-A, Kanawha. It's some Indian thing, I don't know. And so Glenn Matthews used to say all the time that there was only 5,000 Christians in the Kanawha Valley. And they just went from this church because they got a new pastor to this church because then they got a new pastor and they were sick and tired of the old one. And then they moved to this one over here because this one over here didn't love him anymore, and he left and took a church somewhere bigger than what he had. And then they went over to this church, and they stayed there for a few years. And then they went to this one because they got a young, handsome preacher who was very animated. And so everybody, you know, and Glenn used to say, there's only 5,000 Christians, and they just go where the getting's the best. I thought, wow, man, there's years of wisdom in that. And when I thought about it, I thought, man, that's true. And then I observed it. I saw it for myself. I thought, wow, look at this. To never settle down. You know, if someone is unstable, it just simply means that person is unpredictable, doesn't it? Always going here and then there, up one day, down the next day, and there is simply no stability, spiritually speaking, in their lives. They're constantly shifting, and you never know where they stand. You never know. And of course, you cannot depend on them. You know, you can't depend on them. They're unreliable. They're not trustworthy. And the bottom line is, a double-minded man is a person who is weak in character. And they're unstable in all their ways. But then secondly, notice the wear. The wear in the product. The wear is clear. He's unstable in all his ways. You see, here is a huge problem for the double-minded person. They think they can control their two-facedness, but they can't. They can't. And it dogs them at every turn of the road. You see, in everything he or she does, they're faced with the same problem. They just simply cannot make a conscious decision and stick to it. And stick to it. You know, illustrate. Out in the parking lot. Boy, that was a good sermon, wasn't it? No, I didn't like it at all. Well, why? Well, he said, and yak, 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 and it goes on. You said, well, you know, I never thought of it that way, but I guess you're right. And then the next thing you know, two people are mad at me. And then two becomes four, four becomes eight, and it just goes like that. Did you hear what that shut guy said? Did you hear what he said? Oh, he's got an opinion on everything, trust me. Yeah. Hey, here's an idea. Just make a decision and stick with it. Whose team you on? I'm on the Lord's side. I don't know about you, but I don't go home and sit and think about things, about people that I can get upset about. I just don't do that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In everything they do, they're faced with the same problem. What kind of conscious decision do I make here? Oh, well, I'm not really good at making decisions. And so you're on both sides of the game. That's a double-minded individual. And James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One foot in the world, the other in Christ. Who do I serve today? Who do I live for today? Am I going to plant myself in Christ, or am I going to waffle back and forth? I mean, it's Sunday. I got to go to church and nod my head at all the right spots, or preacher's going to think I'm not with him. I got to say amen in all the right places, shake hands with everybody and smile. Probably going to get COVID 3 times over. But then on Mondays, it's back to the grind. And when I get to the office, I'm just going to be like, you know, one of the rest of the gang. I'll listen to the filth around the water cooler. I'll listen to the dirty innuendos and the dirty jokes and the cursing. And I'll just blend in with everybody else and enjoy the world. Well, you know, there's really no need for me to be a light for the Lord where I work anyway. All these people, they're all going to hell and they know it. And they don't care. So I'll just not say anything at all about being a Christian. But then on Sunday, I'll come running back with my Bible in my hand. You know, a two-faced believer, a double-minded man. And here's the truth. Mr. Unreliable. Yeah. Mrs. Up and Down Christian. Mr. Can't make a decision and stick with it. Mr. and Mrs. In and Out Christian. Oh, folks, to be grounded and settled, to know what you believe and know why you believe it. And be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. Oh, may God help us to be single-minded. Amen. Let's pray. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Wonder how many folks will say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. God's speaking to my heart. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be unstable. I want to be single-minded, and I want to know where I am and what I'm doing and who I'm serving, and I want my God to be the God of the Bible. Amen. So if God's speaking to your heart tonight, would you raise your hand? Let's pray about this. Yes, God bless all of you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good. How about upstairs? Yes. God bless all of you. Praise the Lord. All right. Father, you know our needs tonight. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and help us. Father, we need to just sit back and look at ourselves in the light of this little 8th verse. Man, what a truth this is. And I just pray that we'll not be like a wave that is just blown around by the wind. But Father, I pray that we'll be settled, that we'll be grounded, that we'll have made up our mind that we're going to be a single-minded individual and we're going to stand for Jesus. So Father, touch our hearts tonight. I pray for all these hands that were raised. And Father, give us convicted hearts tonight. about making that firm decision to stand for you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.